I'm not just, so you understand what I just said.
All right, let's see. Let's see if the TV's on real quick, actually. It's like, Master, what's going on? How you doing? What's up? How's your brother? I haven't seen your brother in a long time. Oh, nice. How long is he going for? Basically like middle of January, all middle of January. Nice. Well, he left on New Year's. Oh, he left on New Year's and he stayed for, okay, so like almost like 2-3 weeks then.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Mashallah. He enjoy, obviously. Yeah. That's awesome. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, actually, so there's a really funny story behind this. I'm not wearing this because I actually, like, I am a big Harry Potter fan, but it's not, like, I actually wear it. There was a time where, like, my wife and I were in Orlando, and anybody been to Florida before? Don't go there. It's not really worth it. Yeah, it's like something you do when you have to do it, almost. So we were there, and it was, like, October. And so October in Florida is, like, you just assume it's, like, 70-degree weather, right? We woke up one morning and it was like 46 degrees. And like we had like an entire outdoor day kind of like planned out and stuff like that. So, you know, we were already in, and Orlando is like this giant touristy city, right? Like, I don't know what other city to compare it to. It's like almost like LA in like a way. It's like it just benefits so much from tourism. So we just like went there and bought like scarves because we're just freezing. And the scarves ended up being like Harry Potter scarves. I actually wore the scarf one time when I gave a khutbah. And I got called out for it by people in the congregation. They're like, oh my God, Imam's wearing Hogwarts. I was like, does this prayer even count? Like, I'm not even sure. it was rough. But alhamdulillah, though, it was good. It was good. Alhamdulillah. And obviously, it was like $800 for one scarf. So, it was like 40 bucks for the scarf. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It makes no sense. Like, logically, it just does not appeal to the senses at all. Yeah, but this scarf better get me to Jannah, bro. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Okay, so I'm actually going to just full screen this really quickly for everybody and just zoom in some more. Okay, awesome. All right. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum, everybody. Hope everyone, inshallah, is doing well, well-rested, rejuvenated. How many of y'all are online right now for school, like for classes coming up? Anyone online for the next, like, week or two, foreseeable future? Okay. Anybody, other y'all, I'm assuming back in person? Everyone's back in person? Okay, good. Alhamdulillah. I mean, you know, you just got to kind of keep going, I guess, and to a certain degree. If you're vaccinated and stuff like that, you got to keep grinding away, right? It's just life. I mean, no one really anticipated this thing happening. Like a month and a half ago, everyone was kind of getting used to like just the norm of life going back to what it was. And then all of a sudden, boom, this thing happens. And it almost feels like back in like April 2020, right? Everyone's like losing their minds. But alhamdulillah, you know, alhamdulillah, we're at least, you know, continuing on with our community stuff and being together. It's a very, very important part of, you know, what we do here at Rood. So today, we're, inshallah, going to be going over a very, very short but sweet hadith. I think this hadith is really amazing in a couple of different ways. This hadith is very applicable, I'll say. Super applicable. It's less theoretical and more applicable. And I like that, you know. And this kind of goes to, it's a testament to what the Prophet ﷺ used to do, is that he was not just a person who used to speak theory. He used to also speak practicality. He wouldn't just give people theoretical advice. Anybody know people that just give theoretical advice? And you're like, what do you actually want me to do? And you're like, I don't know, right? Like you're like, yo, go be good. You're like, what does that mean, bro? Like, what do you mean be good? Like, what am I supposed to do, right? And the Prophet was the perfect balance of theory and practice. And that was who he was in his life, right? He didn't lean too far to the left or too far to the right. He was a very balanced person in his advice giving. So this hadith is really, really, really amazing. So I'll read it in Arabic and I'll have someone translate it for me, inshallah, whoever wants to read the English part. So the hadith it reads, and this is, by the way, in the books of Imam Tirmidhi, this hadith, it says, al-bala'u muwakkilun bil mantiqi. Okay, very short hadith. And so somebody want to translate that for me real quick in English? Akram, go ahead. Affliction comes from the stomach. Okay, very good. Affliction البلاء موكل بالمنطق comes from loose talk, or it comes from like frivolous, careless talk. All right. Anyone want to take a guess at what that means? Anyone want to like take a shot?
When you're like waffling, you're just like talking to talk. It's like filling space.
Okay. Okay. When you're talking to talk. Okay. When you're just trying to fill space. Very good. Anyone else want to give a idea of what this hadith could possibly mean? Okay. There's no benefit. Okay. What else? Anyone else? That affliction comes from loose talk. It's kind of like a short, but like it leaves a little bit to be desired in terms of like what it could possibly mean. Okay, so Akram mentioned that like it's just kind of like word filling, right? Just talk to talk. Anyone else? There's a couple different meanings we're going to talk about today. Anyone want to take a guess? Sisters, girls, anyone? What do y'all think? Loose talk, what does that mean? Vague, so like not specific, just kind of speaking broadly. Okay, anyone else? So vague, word filling. Who else?
It's like a lot of loose. Like one can maybe come to the truth, right?
Okay.
It isn't as firm or not as direct. You might say something that may or may not have happened, right?
Okay. Okay, very good. Very good. It may or may not have happened. Not really sure how valid this speech was, right? It's like kind of like, you know, just blabbing on something about something on your essay paper. Y'all are pros at that. I know you are. I'm like, yo, you got five pages? I got you in 4.5, right? You're like, you're never getting one more word out of me. Okay, very good. All right. So let's go ahead, inshallah, and kind of like translate a little bit about what the first word is, right? So what's the first word you guys see up there? Somebody, can you read that first translation out for me, like the first word there? Affliction, al-bala'u, right? Affliction. What is affliction? How would you guys define affliction? Somebody share something with me.
Problems.
What else? Affliction. What else? Misunderstandings. Okay, very good. What else? What else? Afflictions. Problems, misunderstandings. Any other definition of affliction?
Tests.
Very good. Anyone else? Test, misunderstandings. What else? Yes?
When our blessing gets stopped.
When a blessing gets stopped. Very interesting. Okay. Anyone else? You got something? No? Okay. So let's look at something real quick. Okay. So Allah in the Quran actually defines bala in a verse in the Quran, and actually specifically is talking a little bit about the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Okay. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Safat, he's talking about the trial that Ibrahim alayhi salam was given with his son. And one of the most famous trials. And Ibrahim was given a lot of trials, but one of the most infamous trials that the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam was given was this order to sacrifice his son, right? And everyone knows about this, where he, you know, Ibrahim was given this kind of divine revelation or divine kind of intervention that Allah said, if you are truly, and Ibrahim was Khalilullah, right? He was like this friend, this close friend of Allah. If you are going to be worthy of that status, we will test you a little bit more than the average person, right? And this also kind of like proves something very interesting, is that all tests and trials are not inherently bad, right? And we'll define this at the end a little bit. Okay, some of the teachings of our scholars are very, very beautiful, where they define a test and a trial as one that's bad is one that actually takes you away from God. But what if a test or a trial brings you closer to Allah? Was that inherently bad in and of itself, right? Like, I had to kind of learn the hard way, as people say nowadays, right? So in this kind of story of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, he was told to sacrifice his son, okay? And when he went to sacrifice him, and he actually even asked his son what he thought about this, and this was just the character of the Anbiya. You know, فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى. What do you think about this, right? How do you feel about this? And by the way, Ibrahim alayhi salam and the other Anbiya, they did not have a choice but to follow through with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them to do. It's not like us. Allah tells us, hey, yo, there's a Fajr prayer, right? You got to wake up early a.m. You're like, yo, I got exams though, right? Like, you're like, are you sure that's for me? Like, maybe for the guy next to me, right? But like, I don't know if he has biochem exam at 8:30. Like, we start making excuses. We start kind of feeling one way or the other about certain commandments that Allah gives us. And this is kind of just like the general reason why we are just not prophetic people to a certain degree. We try to be prophetic, but we fall short a lot, right? And there's a reason why, You know, have you guys ever wondered, like, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose his prophets? Because these were people that were hand-chosen by Allah. They weren't just random, right? Even though the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a man, Ibrahim was a man, Musa alayhi sallam was a man, he had a mother and a father. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a mother and a father. And this is one of the ways that the people of that time, of their time, they used to actually try to take shots of them. Like, you're just like me. You're just like me. You breathe, you eat, you marry, you die one day. Why are you the prophet? What makes you a prophet and not me, right? This is the arrogance of humanity. But the reality is that it's not about like what they're made of that made them prophets in terms of physicality. What made them prophets was what's in here. That's what made them prophets. If you look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like right here, is there anything really close to what we are, honestly? I know we try, but he was up here and we're just trying to get there to that level. And so after he was, you know, Ibrahim was given this order, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after all of that, he says, "Inna hadha lahuwal bala'ul mubin." That this was a testing trial for you, right? So bala'u is something that's it's a trial, it's a tribulation, it's difficult, it's not easy at all. It's something that the human being struggles going through. It's not something that anybody wants. Nobody should want a trial. You know, sometimes like there's like this weird kind of like, I don't know, there's weird culture nowadays of people who are like, yeah, man, I guess I just got to learn the hard way. Brother, stop it. Like, don't think you have to learn the hard way, right? There's actually, this is kind of like, you know, it's not like authentic sahih, but you can kind of take some lessons from this. That, you know, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, everyone heard of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam? What was it? What was his defining characteristic that everyone knows about? Beauty. Right? Beauty. Beautiful man, mashallah. Right? Amazing looking human being. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw him in the Isra wal Mi'raj, he said that, "I swear Allah gave half of the beauty of creation to this one man and the rest of the half to everybody else." That's how beautiful he was, right? So everyone named Yusuf, they're like, yeah, bro, it's me, you know? Mom's got their name right this time. You know, like, but really, jokes aside, you know, he was a beautiful man. And to be quite honest with you, a lot of things that people deem like good qualities of people can actually be their most testing quality. Everyone's like, man, that guy's so good looking. He must have like everything he wants. Oh my God, this girl is like so wealthy, mashallah, career, super successful. She must have everything she wants. How do you know that wealth is not the most testing thing in her life? How do you know his like appearance is not the most testing thing in his life? And to be quite honest with you, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, his beauty was one of the defining reasons for why he was so tested in this dunya. Right? And this conversation we had about not wanting tests and trials, you know, the whole, you know, chapter of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, you know, when he walked into that hall and, you know, Zulaikha and the other people, the other woman in the city were cutting these fruits or cutting this, you know, whatever food it was. And they began to cut their own hands. The Quran like talks about this. And they all tried to basically kind of, you know, impose their will on him. And Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam made a prophetic statement. Ya Allah, make the prison more appealing to me than what they call me to. And there was a scholar who actually said, this is very, very interesting. There's a scholar who actually said that had Yusuf alayhi salam asked Allah for afiyah, like afiyah, I mean like just, you know, relieve him of all the, you know, tests and trials, Allah could have possibly given it to him. But it was because Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam even just said, you know, I want to be, you know, given something other than this, what they're calling me to, that Allah actually gave him prison. You know, Allah gave him what he wanted. Allah gave him the other. All right. And so when it comes to just kind of trials and tribulations, a person shouldn't, you know, and obviously Yusuf alayhi salam, obviously being a prophet, he knew what he was doing and Allah had it in his qadr for Yusuf to go to prison. But for you and I, don't ask for difficulty. Don't be like, yeah, you know what? I guess I just got to go to this party to learn the hard way, bro. Like, no, dude, listen to your mom, man. Like, seriously, you had a friend that's like giving you advice and you don't like it. You're like, ah, man, she don't know, right? Like, I guess I was going to go find out who this person is myself. If I got burned, I got burned. No, no, no. Your objective should not be to get burned. Your objective should be to save yourself from that sort of pain, right? So al-bala'u is like this kind of trial that you don't want, right? And so this hadith, it comes from actually a longer hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, ihfad lisanaka, okay, antaqulu fatabtalu. And then he continues, guard your tongue lest you might utter something that you may be tested by. Ihfaz, guide your tongue, guard your tongue, okay? Don't just say the first thing that comes to your mouth or your mind, right? Because indeed, affliction comes, and this is where you get the rest of this hadith, al-bala'u muwakkalun bil-mantiqi. That affliction comes from loose talk. So I want to take a minute here really quickly. I want to pause. I want to ask you guys a question. Take 1 minute. I want to pause here for 1 minute. Take 1 minute. I want you to talk to the person next to you. You know what? 30 seconds. I don't got time. 1 minute. 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Talk to the person next to you to think of one side effect of loose, careless speech. Okay? What's a side effect of it? You know when scholars like deduce like diseases of the heart? One of the things that they actually do is look for symptoms and side effects. So for example, if somebody's struggling with arrogance, right? It's not as easy as being like, yeah, that dude's arrogant. I know it. How do you know it, brother? Just know it. You know? Y'all ever seen that TikTok guy, Sammy? He's like, must suck to suck, bro. I just know. No, you don't know. You have to kind of identify certain symptoms and side effects of why you're going through certain things. Like, for example, a side effect or a symptom of arrogance may be that you can't hear other people being complimented in front of you. That could be a side effect of arrogance, right? You cannot handle a conversation in a group of people when it's not centered around you. Side effect of arrogance. Whenever somebody has something good happening in their life, an inkling, a part of you feels uncomfortable. Side effect of arrogance. So take 30 seconds, talk to the person next to you, and talk just a little bit about what possible side effects of loose or careless talk can actually be. All right? So Bismillah, go for it. Sheikh Mubin does not have to do this. Why is he even sitting here, bro? Why is Sheikh sitting here, man? Why isn't he sitting up here? Why am I not in the back, like, facing the wall? All right, 20 seconds, 20 seconds. Here we go. Get some good stuff. All right, Bismillah, 10 seconds. Here we go. Everyone wrap their thoughts up really quickly, inshallah. Put that bow on top. Finishing touches. All right. Here we go. All right, so let's hear it. What are some of the side effects, some of the symptoms of loose or careless speech? Bismillah. Who wants to start? Who's a brave soul? Yeah, Sheikh. Subhanallah. Here we go.
You overshare your own feelings about.
Subhanallah. You overshare your feelings. Okay, very, very interesting.
Only love your beloved so much that if they become your enemy, it doesn't harm you.
Allah. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful. So oversharing, right? When you're feeling so comfortable in front of somebody so quickly that you end up just giving away too much too quickly. It's a serious issue nowadays, by the way. Right? Everyone gets too comfortable. The internet has like basically expedited that process, right? Like, oh, check this out. I got this degree. Homie, you don't know somebody don't like you? Like, probably got more enemies than friends, right? Okay, good. Very, very good. Bismillah, very good. Sheikh Mubin started us off real high, so we gotta climb even higher, inshallah. Let's go. Anyone else? Misunderstandings? Okay, like meaning like, how would you like describe misunderstandings?
Yeah. Like the wrong things, but isn't exactly like the point of the
time. Okay.
Yeah, so like you get the wrong idea.
Okay. Okay. Very good. So misunderstandings, you get the wrong idea, wrong impression of what someone was trying to say. I would honestly say, if you want to kind of contextualize that issue in today's day and age, is that we have way too many conversations that are not face to face. Y'all agree with that? How many times do we feel that people like misconstrue, misunderstand things over text messages? When easily, if you cared enough about that conversation to have it in person, all of that could have been avoided. So it leads to like weeks of like animosity and assumptions that are not good of another person who you should have good assumptions of, but it's bad assumption because you just there was non-clarity in the conversation. Very good. What's your name?
Liana.
Liana. Okay, very awesome. Very good. All right, brothers, what we got? Yes.
You lose value of your words.
You lose value of your words. Yeah. Explain.
So like if you like talk a lot, like then the value of your words goes down significantly. Like it's like you're just talking, you're like you're just talking to talking, you don't really, like you don't get that same respect as like people that do talk to them and so on.
SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Right, there's a hadith, bu'ithtu bi jawami al-kalam, right? The Prophet ﷺ said, I've been sent to you with brevity in my speech, right? I always wonder that. Y'all ever wonder that? Like, I don't know if this is like just like me being like a weird Muslim, I guess, but like, I just wonder like if the Prophet ﷺ was here in 2022, like what type of a community member would he be? You know what I'm saying? Like, we have so many characters, bro. You know, we have like, you know, Uncle Sab, mashallah, and then you got Auntie Sab, right? And then you have like, you're like energetic, young, super woke, intellectual, like college students. And then you got like, the careless high schoolers. I wonder what the Prophet would be like if he was here in 2022. Because we hear these stories about him 1400 years ago, but I wonder like contextually what he would be like in 2022. There's so many like different, like there's so many different variables nowadays, right? SubhanAllah, right? But I mean, but one of the reason why I'm saying this, Akram, is because like to kind of, you know, back you up on what you mentioned, is that like I don't think he would be obsessed with like this kind of over just talking tradition that we have nowadays, right? You just kind of be on the quieter side, maybe only speak when necessary, you know. SubhanAllah. Very good. All right, anyone else? What's another side effect, another symptom of careless speech? Another symptom. Somebody give me another one. I'm gonna pick on you guys. Bro, I got my teaching degree, dude. All right, go ahead.
I was gonna say that they kind of lose trust in what you say. Like if you're oversharing, you might think they'll tell someone else.
Acha. Interesting. So like basically he's saying that like if you overshare, then there's like a lack of trust between, you know, you and other people. Okay, like this person just talks to everybody and blabs on about everything to everyone. So there's really no like just kind of intimacy and conversation with close friends or close circles. Right? Like you tell this person one thing that was very important to you, and you don't have any confidence that this will stay very close. It might reach to a completely different group of people by the end of the day, right? Very good. Very, very good. Anyone else?
Waste time.
Wasting time? What do you mean by that?
Waste time.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no, so like you just keep on like rambling on something where you could be done in like a couple sentences. You're just wasting your time and the person's time.
MashaAllah, man. Akram's he's on this one tonight, right? He's on this one. He's on it tonight. Akram's like, yo, people talk too much nowadays. Akram, mashallah, is like a 60-year-old man in the body of like a 19-year-old, bro. Mashallah, man. Allah blesses, bro. He's awesome. He's awesome. Alhamdulillah. Anyone else? Sisters? Yeah, what's up? Start rumors. Okay. Yeah. No, I feel you. Okay. So you say something and somebody else starts saying something and just backbiting starts happening. And then before you know it, you are those aunties and uncles you made fun of, right? You end up being like that. It's concerning, right? It's very, very concerning. I just want to share a couple of things with you guys real quickly, inshallah. Okay. There's a scholar, Allama Munawi, rahimahullah. He actually said three things as a side effect of this, you know, loose speech that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about. Number one, he says, a person would be at ease and peace so long as they kept quiet. When a person speaks, he will be judged or she will be judged according to everything that came out of their mouth. So he's stating here that it is actually, if you want to be safe, like if you want to save yourself, there's actually a hadith, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anz. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, that verily Allah despises the extravagant speaker amongst people. Allah doesn't like it. Like Allah is not a fan of people who like talk extravagantly. So Akram is like vibing with Allah right now, right? He's like, man, I hate them too, bro. right? It's like the Prophet ﷺ, he said Allah doesn't like those who speak extravagantly, who flaps his or her tongue like a cow would flap their tongue. The Prophet ﷺ is like basically like making an analogy with an animal. And just being honest with you, like in majority of like hadith tradition, like being compared to an animal is not good. There's even in the Quran, right? In the Quran, anybody read Surah Al-Fil before? Right? The story of the elephant. Alam tara kayfa fa'ala rabbuka bi ashabil fil. Allah calls those people ashabil fil, the companions of the elephant. Like, bro, these dudes were so like dumb. They're like friends or animals. Like, they don't have human beings that are like companions of theirs. They're at that intelligence level. You know what I'm saying? And so Allah is saying that like a person who talks too much, that blabbers on and on and on, it's like the comparison of like a cow that just like continues to chew and eat food. Just keeps on going. Just keeps on going. Bro, at least a cow is eating. You're not doing anything. You're just talking for talking's sake. All right? And so, and this is one of the most interesting things. So there was another beautiful, beautiful narration here that, you know, that was said, speak what is good and acquire gains, or refrain from speaking evil and be safe. Right? Speak good and acquire reward. So speak good, acquire reward. This is where that beautiful hadith comes from, right? O you who believe, okay? O you who believe in Allah and in the Akhirah, right? Speak good, right? فَلْيَكُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ What's the last part? Be quiet. لِيَصْمُتْ Right? Speak good or just be quiet. How many of us honestly do this exercise? Seriously. Do this exercise. Do this actually one day. I want to actually see you. I want to do this myself, and I want to ask you guys to do it as well. I know it's hard, but try to do this one day. Try to, at the end of the day, like before you go to sleep, try to keep account of what you said that day. Try to keep account of what you said that day. And to be quite honest with you, if we cannot remember more than half the things that we said, there's a problem. There's a problem. That means we literally, within a 24-hour period, cannot remember the things that came out of our mouth. And the Prophet ﷺ, he talks about this. He says, dude, you're going to be asked about that stuff on the Day of Judgment. It doesn't matter if you forgot about it. It's been written for you. Like, hey, you know, Fatima, on this day, January, you know, whatever day today is, 20th, 21st, did you say X, Y, Z to this person? Fatima might be like, no, I don't remember that at all, actually. I don't remember that. I don't think I even said it. I don't know. It's right here. You said it. It's right here. Got receipts and everything, right? And at that moment, think about the panic that will overwhelm the heart. Oh my God, did I really say that? And if I said that, how many other things did I say? So the first thing that one of the scholars teaches us is stay safe. Stay safe and be quiet in moments where you don't want to like risk that. You know, there's like there's this kind of like teaching in Islam, right? And there's a very beautiful surah that talks about this, Surah Al-Hujurat, where Allah Ta'ala, he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعَضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمٍ He says, O people, you know, who believe, avoid much assumption. Avoid much assumption. Verily, إِنَّ بَعَضَ Some of them, بَعَضَ ظَنِّ إِثْمٍ Some of those assumptions will be evil, will be bad, will be wrong. Because a natural argument for a person is like, yeah, you know what? Like, yeah, I make assumptions. I say a lot of stuff, but I can guarantee you some of that stuff might be good. Right? We try to kind of play devil's advocate, like with our own goodness. We're like, yeah, no, but I'm pretty good though. All right. I may do some stupid things, but like, I'm pretty good. No, Islam tells you, just stay safe. Don't play that game, because even if some of it is bad, that bad is heavy. You know what I'm saying? That makes sense to you guys? Like, you guys kind of get where that's coming from? Like, Islam says, like, don't play the numbers. You know, we're like very like numerical people as Muslims, right? We're like, well, you know, 49 good sayings, 30 bad sayings, 49 is good, right? No. What if that those 30 sayings that were bad are actually heavier than the 49 that were good? Ask yourself that question, right? Super, super important, all right? The second thing that he mentions is a person is discouraged to speak before verifying and knowing the validity of what he or she is saying. Who mentioned that? Somebody here mentioned that. Like verifying and making sure something is true before they say it, right? I think Abdullah or whoever, somebody was mentioning it here, that like this idea of just kind of like speaking without knowing if something is right or not, right? And I'll tell you what, and I'm gonna see if you guys can kind of like feel me here. One of the most common places where this disease is found is in social gatherings. where somebody is just like so willing to just be a part of something that they don't care if what they're saying is right or wrong. I just got to bring some juicy news to this conversation. There was actually a paper that was released recently by like Oxford. I remember like I read it a week ago, where somebody said, where the researcher actually stated that one of the biggest anxieties of social gatherings in today's modern world is a person feeling that they don't have anything to put into the conversation actively. Like you're just sitting there and just kind of listening. That brings anxiety in people. You know what we called that back 1400 years ago? Hadith. You think every time the Prophet spoke, they're like, yeah, oh, okay, let me talk a little bit more over you. No, no, dude. When he spoke, they were like, just sat there. Just soaked it up. We suck at listening, dude. We suck at listening nowadays. Nobody listens anymore. And you know what's even worse than that? I want to see if you guys can kind of like picture yourself in this situation. How many of y'all have caught yourself or caught other people when you are talking or somebody else is talking, you can see the listener already formulating an answer? Ya Rab, protect us, man. That's the worst thing ever. Like when you're talking to somebody and that person, you can tell they're just zoned out because they're already thinking of their rebuttal to you. How can you give me a rebuttal if you didn't even let me finish what I had to say? You just gotta say something. I just have to say it. I gotta get that last punch in. I gotta get that last jab in there. Because me being quiet is like my worst nightmare. Because if I'm quiet, I don't know if like, you know, people will think that I'm like worthy of being a part of this group. If I'm quiet, it's like kind of awkward. I don't know if like, you know, they really want me to be a part of this. If I'm quiet, man, I'm just like that weird kid out. The Prophet says like, no, dude. Being quiet sometimes is good. Being quiet sometimes is actually the sign of intellect, right? There's a statement in English that the dumbest dog barks the loudest, right? That like sometimes the least intelligent people are the loudest in the room. The most intelligent people sometimes are the quietest people in the room. And I've learned this throughout my life with like so many people, experiences, family members, friends, everyone. The people, like, unfortunately nowadays, and today's culture, to be quite honest with you, has promoted this. Where, like, if you're good at speaking, if you're good at, like, writing, if you're good at, like, all these, like, different kind of, like, outward things, outward forms of communication, then you're obviously smart. Have you thought about it? Like, right, like, growing up, how many of y'all got, like, dot points in school because you didn't, like, raise your hand to participate? All right? The teacher's like, you, say something. And you're like, just naturally a shy person. Like, you get penalized for being shy. Like the Prophet didn't do that to people, you know? Like some people were just naturally quiet, and that's okay, you know? Some people were loud, some people were quiet. This is all part of the prophetic community, okay? The last one I wanted to share with everybody here, and we'll end with this inshallah and open it up for some kind of conversation and Q&A here, is that the scholar, he mentions, a person is discouraged from picking out and speaking about the faults of other people. That's the last thing he says about this hadith. Number one was a person should stay safe and be quiet, because you're more so in the safe zone when you're quiet. Because when you start speaking, you're held accountable. Number two is that you should verify and make sure that what you're speaking is truth and not just frivolous and not lies, right? And the third thing he mentions is stay very wary of talking about the faults of other people. And there's a hadith, actually, I'm glad that Sheikh Mubin is here. Sheikh Mubin and I did this hadith, like a few months ago, or like a couple, like maybe like 4 or 5 months ago, where we talked about this hadith, where the Prophet ﷺ, he says, do not rejoice over the misfortune of other people, lest Allah takes the calamity or the test away from them and gives it to you. In other words, in modern day context, what goes around comes around. You're going to sit there and like ridicule somebody else's issues and problems and be like, oh man, like this person and that person and this and that, all that stuff. And you think like you're out here like sitting on your high throne talking about how bad this other person is. How do you know that Allah will not save them from their trial and tribulation and just the next day give it to you? Because you felt so high about it, right? This is one of the biggest lessons, man. And another kind of like small piece of like mental homework that I want everyone to do this week, and to kind of think about this a little bit, is ask yourself genuinely, when we have social gatherings, right? Y'all ever heard like where there's like gatherings of like, you know, the remembrance of Allah, like the malaika, they stop and join in. Ask yourself, the gatherings that you have that or we have like with our friends and our social circles, would the malaika stop and sit, or would they run far away from us? Because they can't stand what's being said, right? And honestly, like a tangible thing to do is ask yourself, if the subject of our conversations are centered around talking of other people or staying away from talking about other people. I remember one time I was giving this like high school, like kind of halakha, and it was about like friendship and companionship. And I said, a true group of friends can find things to talk about other than people. Like if you sit with your circle and you can find like common interests that don't have to revolve around like Abdullah and Akram and, you know, Fatima and, you know, Zainab, like if you can keep away from that, your friends are real. Your friends are for real. Talk about crypto, bro. I don't care. like, why does it always have to revolve around like human beings? Like talking to, oh man, like, you know what this person did? Subhanallah. I don't care how much adhkar you throw in that conversation, bro. It's still bad. Right? You're like, oh, subhanallah. You know, like, just say it quietly to yourself, bro. Like, make dua for them personally. Stop bringing their mess out in front of everybody else. You know? And, you know, that's something that that the scholar kind of ends this hadith off. So this hadith, very, very beautiful, right? This hadith, and I'll kind of just repeat it one more time. Al-bala'u muwakkilun bil-mantiqi, right? But the Prophet ﷺ says that affliction, trials, and tribulation comes from this frivolous, loose talk and loose speech. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to stay far away from the people of loose and careless speech, because at the end of the day, we want to make sure that all of our deeds are quality heavy and will be deeds that get us closer to Allah and His Jannah and not further away from Allah and His Paradise. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Inshallah, anybody have any sort of questions, comments, concerns? Sheikh Mubin's here, so I'm just going to let him do the rest of the session. So, Sheikh, got anything? Any sort of reminder that you want to add on to this hadith?
Oh,
yes. So what
interpretations that came to mind when I first read it is that like some of the stuff where you lose value of some of the things that you do say and values of like words that you bear a lot of weight. So like one thing that immediately came to mind is like the use of kafar in our speech like on a daily basis and like people loosely throwing it out. And I talked to you about it like, recently, and it was just like that was the like one thing that like came to mind, because like the problems that can come with it if you like falsely say it or say it like very loosely could be like a really big deal to a person without like realizing it.
Yeah, it kind of goes back to that point where we're talking about the idea of like the heaviness of the sin outweighs whatever chance of truth you may have spoken. You know, it's just like this, it's like a smart person would make that decision just to stay away from it. You know, this is what we call in Islam, it's a concept called wara is like just staying away, you know, caution, being a little bit like skeptic about going towards something, because we don't want to take the risk of like having that sin, you know, put upon our shoulders. It's not something that I want to risk with my soul, right? Very good. Anyone else want to share anything? Anything contextual? Man, loose talk is crazy, bro. It's really scary, man. It is one of the scariest things. And it is something that is so ordinary for all of us. And this is why I said this hadith is very applicable. That it's just something that like we do. You know, we're just kicking it, killing time with people that we like. You know, something that started off as harmless became very harmful, you know? And this is why I always ask people, you know, like, and this is another kind of small thing I want to share with everybody here, is that if somebody goes through something like this, and this is true with all sin, you know, whether it's small or large, whatever it may be, when it comes to sinning, one of the things that we were taught, you know, especially by like a lot of our imams, like growing up when we were kids, was don't justify sins. Like if you struggle with something, it's okay. It's okay, right? Because a lot of people are born with different characteristics, right? Not everyone will be quiet. Some people are like just super extroverted human beings. They love talking, right? You can put them in a room and subhanAllah, man, let that tape recorder go out. Like it's gone, right? Like it's like that thing's zooming. Like you put this person on like, there's like people you put on like slowdown, like 0.5, like, you know, like, speed, and there's like still like at 1.5% speed, like, yeah, like Allah rewards some people, you know, and it's part of that character, the person's characteristic. And so you know, one of the things is that, you know, if a person does struggle with that, it's not, you know, like, it's not like, you know, shameful to struggle with a sin, but what is shameful is you justifying that sin is something that's not good, you know? Like, if, for example, if, like, I'm like, oh, yeah, and this is one of my biggest pet peeves about, you know, just the general kind of, like, you know, Islamic kind of culture that we've, you know, cultivated, is that people start to, like, act like, oh, it's not a big deal. Like, and nothing's a big deal, you know? Oh, yeah, Muslims are supposed to pray, but, like, you can if you want to. No, 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 Habibi, bro, like, relax. Like, boy, throw not fitna, like, you know, like, oh, you don't have to pray? No, there's literally an interview I remember seeing, like, of, like, it was a Muslim, I believe it was, like, an actor, entertainer, or something like that. He made a movie where, like, a part of, like, the movie included, like, a scene about, like, him going through that classic, like, you know, being yelled at by your parents, did you pray? And he was, like, downstairs in his basement. He's like, yeah, mom, I prayed. And, like, he, like, basically, like, just stays down there for, like, 2 minutes and then comes back up and just lies about it. And so the interviewer, this is really interesting because this is a responsibility upon Muslims, because they ask Muslims about this stuff. Like, oh, in the movie you portrayed that Muslims don't have to pray. Like, do you have to pray? And the guy, literally Muslim guy, he was like, yeah, you know, you're supposed to, but it's okay if you don't. No, 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 bro. That's a huge statement. You can't just go around saying stuff like that. Like, if you struggle praying, then, you know, khalas, right? Allah will make things easy for you, right? Put your head down, get to work, you know, Allah will make things easy for you. But don't just be like, yeah, I don't know if I have to pray, you know. No, 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 you should pray. If you have a problem cursing, man, subhanAllah, that I was joking around about this with the youth on Sundays. And I know Sheikh Mubin will vibe with this 100%. There's a new, like, bend of Islam where, like, people going out here, like, justifying smoking weed is halal. Like, legit. No, like, legit. There's actually arguments about it now. It's like, oh, actually, you know, it's not the same as cigarettes, you know. Let's look at the, you know. And they read, like, one page of, like, Usul al-Fiqh and they think they're scholars. Like, it happens. No, it really happens. It's crazy. So, but it all stems, honestly, down to, like, this idea that, like, we have just gotten very used to the culture of just justifying what we do. And that's not okay. Right? Struggle with something, call us, it's fine. Everyone struggles with their own individual problems. But don't just start convincing yourself. Forget about other people. You don't got to convince other people. Stop convincing yourself that it's okay to do these things. It's not. Right? Some, you know, just small reminder for myself before anybody else, inshallah. Anyone else? Anything? Want to share anything? 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 Yes.
So, like, you know, when it comes to listening, you know, people listen to respond, right?
Mm.
They don't listen to understand.
Mm.
So, saying that, like, come to mind, that I heard a lot growing up, was like, you have 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason.
Mm.
You better start listening double than you speak, because if you don't, then whatever you say isn't
going to be. SubhanAllah, man. That's powerful. That's powerful. It seems trivial, but it's powerful, right? And also, like, kind of going back to what your brother was saying, this, like, idea of, like, when a person speaks too much, their words decrease in quality. It's like, you know, it's like you can draw the analogy to anything else in life. Like, if you find, like, an item in the store abundantly available, no one's going to be jumping after it. You're like, oh, I can just get it next week, right? But, like, go back to, like, April 2020, man, you see, like, one roll of toilet paper on in the aisle, you're like, Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam, like, jump at it, right? Because it's rare. So, like, if you speak less, the words that you do say will stick with people more. And this is really, and we actually studied this in Usul al-Hadith at the seminary, that the Prophet, why do you think people clung onto his words? There was a woman by the name of Umm Ma'bad, very famous narration, who the Prophet ﷺ just happened to have spent, like, an afternoon with while he was going on migration with Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. An older lady, her husband was away. She was literally at the farm, and the whole miraculous kind of, you know, situation took place where he milked one of the animals that she had that was very malnourished, and it was enough to fill up buckets for him, Abu Bakr Siddiq, their guide, and also left some for Ummu and Abu Ma'bad. And he spent, Sirah says, like, maybe like a couple of hours, few hours with her. And then when her husband came back, he asked, he was like, well, there was obviously a person here. Who was he? And she basically spilled, like, the, to this day, the most vivid description of the Prophet ﷺ that we have. And one of the things that she said was that whenever he spoke, it was as though pearls were coming out of his mouth. Dude, that was like a few hours. Few hours of being in a person's presence, you're like, pearls came out of his mouth. I'm like, man, like, if I had my mom describe, like, my speech, she'd be like, yeah, like, Jahannam, like, came out of his mouth, like, right? Like just absolute atrocity, right? Like, think about how beautiful must have, like, and he didn't speak very often. He just spoke very little while he was with her. But the few things that he said were so powerful that that's how she described his speech, right? Can you imagine that? It's absolutely mind-boggling, right? SubhanAllah. Alhamdulillah. Anyone else? Anyone want to share anything? Anything, any thoughts, any reflections that they have? Everyone cold? Yeah, I know, man. SubhanAllah. Yeah, what's up?
It's a question.
Yes.
How would you suggest people navigate, like, the whole, like woke, you know, social media, like, hey, you know,
yeah,
like, attitudes, right, that people have towards, like, speech and what they say?
Yeah. Honestly, Sheikh, you got anything about this? What do you think? No, Sheikh. That's all you, bro. I defer to you. No, you are not attending, sir. You are not attending. I you know, one of the things that I was taught, so this is not my advice, this is the advice of people that have given me advice, is ask yourself every moment that you speak, why are you speaking? Is it to satiate your own vanity? Or is it because you actually have something of benefit that you can live by and you can share some goodness with other people? I'll be honest with you. Social media is like one of the biggest like tests for the nafs. Like, why are you posting this? Are you posting it because you're like, yo, I want everyone to see, right, everything that's going on? Are you arguing with a person just because at this point you don't even care about like the benefit of this person? You're just like, bro, I can't back down. You know, that's like something to ask, right? Why are you arguing? Because your nafs will tell you, like, no, you can't take this L. Like, if you take this L, Facebook will know about it forever, right? Like, you can't just back off of this argument. So ask yourself, is it beneficial? Like, why am I doing this? And also to kind of combat that, and I'll be honest with you, and this is very true, the more you learn, in a really odd way, the more humble you get about whatever you do know. Like, you're more careful about what you do know. You know, like before, and you can ask like the students at the seminary, you know, Zainab's here and, you know, Abdullah's here, as you know, he's studying Arabic. When you come in, you're like, oh man, you know, like, yeah, I've heard about this, right? You know, Surah al-Hadith and Quran, Sirah, right? I've heard about this stuff before. And you get there and bro, like, you get humbled with like a slap. Like, I don't know anything. I know nothing, you know? So like, ask yourself, like, is your knowledge like something that's actually like heavy? Or is it something that you're like, it's crazy, you know, what my one of my family members used to say, like, you take basically like 80% of the knowledge that you have and you just like regurgitate it. Like, but there's only 20% left in your brain. That's it. The people who are truly knowledgeable, they're not just going to be spilling everything that they know, because they keep majority of it to improve themselves. They're not about to spill it to everybody else, because knowledge is amana. If I know Fajr prayer exists, it's upon me not to wake up for Fajr. So what if I go out and lecture people about the importance of Fajr prayer and, you know, the hadith of Fajr and verses in the Quran about Fajr? Like, do I even abide by those teachings? So knowing that, like, knowledge is an amana. Like, if you know about it, Allah will ask you about it. So walk the walk, you know? It's very easy to talk. Talking is super easy, and any idiot can do it, you know? So just something to think about, you know? God, man, like, you just got to, that's why, and Sheikh will, you know, 100% agree with this, is that why, like, when you learn, you got to learn from, like, people. You can't learn by yourself. It's a tragedy to learn by yourself. Because, yeah, knowledge is knowledge, but if you don't learn from a person, that knowledge is completely untapped. Like, yeah, you know things. You have no idea how to handle them. You know, there are times where I learn something and some of the teachers that you know, I study with, they're like, no, shut up. you're not allowed to talk about this. You haven't learned enough about it. When like my nafs is like, no, but I can do it. I sat here for this whole semester. I can talk. Like, no, you haven't let it sink in. You haven't learned it properly yet. You know, that's where like a person who knows more than you can kind of like check you a little bit. That's the problem with today's day and age. Honestly, everything's unchecked. There's no checks and balances. Everyone just does where they want to. Anyone can make a Twitter account. Tweet whatever you want, bro. 140 characters. You got this. Right? It's dangerous, dude. It's crazy stuff. Yeah. Very good. Anyone else? Anything else? Everyone enjoy soul food? Alhamdulillah. Is it deep? I hope it's like something that like I hope it's something that, you know, you can take home and just kind of think about it a little bit. I don't want like the conversation from soul food just to end here. Like, I want everyone to kind of go home to think about it, see how you can apply it in your life a little bit. Because like everything that we speak about here is not just supposed to be in these walls. It's supposed to go out there and just kind of be a part of like your betterment, right? So the next time there is an opportunity for like a social gathering and someone's just saying stuff and you're like, man, the Prophet ﷺ, man, he like warned me kind of about this stuff. You know, I can't just go around just frivolously saying stuff. I've got to kind of watch what I say, because every single thing that I say is now, you know, something I'm accountable for, right? So that's what Islam is supposed to do to you. All right. JazakAllah khairan, everybody. Inshallah, we'll be pouring hot chocolate for you guys over here. We have fresh hot chocolate. We brought the steam wand out here for you, alhamdulillah. So if you guys want hot chocolate, let us know. And we have halal marshmallows. You know, we don't do none of that harami stuff around here. Sheikh, joking around about this. He's like, Sheikh, you didn't ask me where the marshmallows are from. I'm surprised. So halal marshmallows and hot chocolate, inshallah, as you guys head out. And then also, mashallah, Sister Zainab brought some donuts for us, alhamdulillah. So coffee and donuts. We're basically police officers tonight. Inshallah, coffee, hot chocolate, and donuts. But alhamdulillah, it's a good mix and a good kind of like warm treat for you guys on this cold night. But jazakum khairan, thank you guys for coming, inshallah, and we'll see you all next week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.